You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The trade deadline has come and gone. I'm still trying to catch up on sleep. Released two podcasts and one press conference yesterday on the Locked On Kings podcast and on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you haven't checked out all three of those episodes, quote unquote, that I released yesterday, you're going to want to check them out at some point in time. Hopefully you enjoy all that content and you're asking for more and you've come to the right place. If you want more, welcome in to the Locked On Kings podcast, your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage that extends through the trade deadline, through the remainder of the season, all the way through the summer, the NBA draft, the playoffs, everything. We have it all right here for you, bite-sized formats every single weekday, Monday through Friday on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here on Locked On Kings, and I slept like a baby last night. Worked about a 12, 13-hour day covering everything trade deadline from the KHDK studios, going to the Golden 1 Center for Vlade Divac's press conference. Had the interview with Sean Cunningham, which you can check out right now, which was recorded late last night or yesterday evening. So if you missed that, be sure to check that bonus podcast out in your free time. We talked a lot of Kings and then a lot of just the trades in general around the NBA. But today on the Locked On Kings podcast, I'm actually going to have a friend from the Locked On Clippers podcast, William Updike, who's one of the hosts of Locked On Clippers, is going to be joining me here in just a little bit, sharing all the information that we need to know here in Kingsland about what the Clippers are looking to do for the remainder of this season, if they expect to fall out of the eighth seed or if they're going to try and fight and hold on to it as much as possible and make things as difficult as possible for the Kings, Lakers, and other teams in the West that are trying to sneak their way in. He provides great perspective on that. He's also going to share a lot with about this summer, what the Clippers are trying to do, because the Clippers have the cap space and they're in the LA market, so they can shake up the league pretty quickly with making some big splashes this summer, whether it's an Anthony Davis trade, a Kawhi Leonard signing. Either way, the Kings and the Clippers could be sparking a pretty bitter rivalry in years to come if the Clippers are able to build a juggernaut down there and the Kings are able to continue to develop and do a juggernaut here. If you're looking for my thoughts, my breakdown on all of the trades, on Harrison Barnes' acquisition, all of that, you can check out yesterday's podcast. I share all my thoughts on all of those here. This is going to be more about the Clippers and the Kings and their battles and their relationship here today from William. This interview will dominate the podcast. We'll come back on the other side, briefly touch on the debut of Harrison Barnes and Alec Burks tonight as the Kings are taking on the Miami Heat inside the Golden 1 Center. So we'll touch on that in just a little bit on the other side. But right now, enjoy my conversation with Locked On Clippers host William Updike. A lot of changes over the last couple of days around the NBA. The Sacramento Kings taking the floor tonight against the Miami Heat, debuting some new pieces. Harrison Barnes and Alec Burks, also Caleb Swanigan, and the Kings are gearing up to try and build off of what has already been a surprising and fun year. The fact that they're sitting in the ninth seed, a game and a half within the eighth seed and the playoff race in the Western Conference, a place that nobody expected the Kings to be at this point. And now that they've reached it, the front office has geared up and is ready to make the next step. But in order to do that, they have to replace one team in the West. And right now, the team sitting ahead of them in that eighth seed is the Los Angeles Clippers. I am excited to welcome in for the first time here on the Locked On Kings podcast, even though he is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, it's William Updike, one of the hosts of Locked On Clippers. We're going to discuss a lot of things today, from the Tobias Harris trade all the way through what expectations the Clippers have for the remainder of this season. Are they really truly okay with falling out of that eighth seed and losing an opportunity at the playoffs this year in order to gear up, have a fantastic summer, and get to where they want to be next year? We're going to touch on everything here over the next 15 to 20 minutes. William, thank you so much for taking the time. Welcome into Locked On Kings, my man. How's everything down there in Clipperland?
Really, really good. I mean, same boat. A lot of changes in the last 48 to 72 hours. It's been a whirlwind, man.
I can completely understand that. We dealt with trades going down while the Kings were actually playing against the Houston Rockets, including trades that were between the Kings and the Houston Rockets. So a whirlwind is right, but it's been a very entertaining trade deadline season. It really got started with the Kristaps Porzingis trade between the Dallas Mavericks and the New York Knicks. But the first major bomb, in my opinion, that dropped was the Tobias Harris trade. The Clippers trading Tobias Harris to the Philadelphia 76ers for a couple of role players and four future draft picks, two first rounders and two second rounders. And the reason why it was such a loud bomb here in Sacramento was because the Clippers were at the time and still are one game ahead of the Kings in the standings. My assumption right away as the Clippers traded away their best scorer in Tobias Harris was that they were okay with saying sayonara to a playoff opportunity this season. Just straight up, William, is that the case? Are the Clippers looking to not make the playoffs this year?
I don't know that it's that black and white. I think that something that's like really interesting in all these trades that happen at the deadline is if you look at it, it looks like the majority of the teams, especially around the top in the East, look to add firepower. And I don't know if it's because LeBron isn't there, everyone has seen their window as like kind of small and happening right now, whereas I felt like teams on the West kind of prioritize more generating cap space and kind of like getting future assets because they know that maybe this year isn't the year. And I do think that the Clippers are definitely in that latter boat where instead of trying to make that push for that eighth or possibly even seventh spot this year, you know, we wanted to attain maximum cap room. We wanted to add some assets into the vault for either to convey those picks or trade them. And then I think ultimately we knew that we weren't going to be able to hold on to Tobias after this season. There's just too many other teams who could throw too much money at him.
Interesting. So the Clippers got off to this fantastic start this season. We're at the top of the West for really a good couple of months, but I don't think anyone, including you, but correct me if I'm wrong, thought it was going to last. They've slowly started deteriorating to where you knew the juggernauts in the West were eventually going to wake up. The Warriors finally playing like the Warriors are supposed to play with the amount of talent that they have on their roster. So the Clippers slowly falling out of it. They fall into this eighth seed and they see three teams, but mostly two, but you can make an argument for three, and the Timberwolves, the Kings, and the Lakers that are right behind them kind of biting at their heels. Was it really a question for the Clippers, William, of balancing making the postseason and a quick exit sweep at the hand of the Warriors versus trying to set yourself up for as much of a lucrative summer as possible?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, I mean, the latter was definitely the goal. And, you know, I think that it's really helpful in a couple of ways. Like, A, it's sad that we most likely won't make the playoffs. I could be surprised, but it's looking like we're willing to give that up. But I think like a good positive of it is, you know, we have all that we were able to draft last year better than we've gotten the opportunity to in a couple years. Mm-hmm. We have a couple sophomore players that got significant playing time last season that weren't going to get really any playing time on a team that's contending even for a bottom playoff spot. So yeah, I do think that the organization as a whole was willing to sacrifice maybe that, you know, that playoff berth, which we're already a year removed from our, you know, playoff run with the big three, in favor of giving these guys a little bit of a longer leash, a little bit of time to develop. I mean, like I liked with De'Aaron Fox, you know, he got so much time, like with the keys of the team, you know, being able to be that leader on the floor and take shots and make mistakes and come back from those. And I think that's why he had such incremental growth, exponential growth rather, this year. And, you know, I really want to see the same thing happen for, you know, for Shai Gilgeous. And it'd be great if Jerome Robinson could get there, or even Landry Shamet, who we haven't even got to see play yet in a Clipper uniform.
How about this draft pick situation? The fact that, well, I've read it 100 places, but I'll just confirm it with you, that should the Clippers make the playoffs this year, they would then lose this upcoming draft pick to the Boston Celtics. That's correct, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
So how much did that come into play with this decision-making? Are the Clippers, quote-unquote, tanking, even though it's kind of a soft tank, in order to make sure they don't lose that draft pick, do you think?
Well, I mean, the official word from Doc is no, they would never do that. They would never want to do that. Steve Ballmer said the same thing. They never want to tank. So I think, though, that there is like a little bit of like a read between the lines or a different verbiage where, no, they don't want to like purposefully lose. I think that they would be willing to maybe give up a few wins if it meant that they could keep that pick from conveying to Boston, which I believe turns into 2 seconds if we don't end up making the playoffs this year.
Well, William, I got to tell you, I was thrilled with this trade for a couple reasons. One is the obvious Sacramento bias here. You know how long the Kings have been outside of the playoffs, and the fact that the Clippers kind of made the Kings' decision for them trading away one of their best players, because the Kings were looking at the Clippers as quite a big wall to climb, because Los Angeles has had so much success over the Kings, beating them pretty comfortably in all three meetings between these two teams so far this year. The Kings just haven't had any answers. So even though they were within a game of the Clippers in that eighth spot, it might as well have been two games, because the tiebreaker we knew was going to go to the Clippers. But I love this trade because it really opened the door for the Kings to make the moves that they ended up making during the trade deadline. But I also love this trade from a Clippers standpoint because I think they're setting up the table beautifully. Now they need to produce fruit. They need to make sure that they end up capitalizing on this opportunity that they've made for themselves this summer. But in your opinion, William, did the Clippers check all the boxes for, and at least to their fan base, knowing, man, we are set up great to make some really, really big moves and steal some of the Los Angeles Lakers thunder here this summer?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think that the front office has really been on point in the last couple of years, going back to even the Blake Griffin blockbuster trade. But yeah, I mean, this Tobias Harris trade, for me, we maximized the amount of value that we could get for a guy like this. It was really sad to let him go, but I've been telling other fans, it's like, basically we got 2 seconds, 2 firsts, plus possibly a third first if we don't make the playoffs, and Landry Shamet, who's a great guard, and a couple other like trade pieces or salary match pieces for essentially one a half of a season, which was left on Tobias's contract, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
And I think that it does, I think that what you said is correct. Like, it does really put us in a position to kind of steal the limelight from Los Angeles from a trade perspective. You know, I don't want to dig too deep into it, but, like, obviously it seems like picks were a huge priority in the AD trade. And if we were to keep our first-round pick, we could offer, you know, a couple of our first-rounders plus a couple first-rounders that we picked up, plus the second-rounders that we got from Detroit, you know, without really running into any issues with the stipend rule. So we could, you know, we could offer a really attractive package where you would even get the pick conveyed sooner than you would from any other team.
And you must have read my mind, because that's where I was going to head with this next question. Acquiring all those assets, to me, felt like setting up the table to make some kind of big move and big trade, because for a team that's in Los Angeles, like the Clippers, I know this summer in free agency, they're going to want to try and capitalize on the fact that they're in the L.A. market. It's not just the Lakers. The Clippers are in the same market as the Lakers are, so they can try and cash in on that. We know how aggressive Doc Rivers is and Steve Ballmer is and everything that they have going on there. So the acquisition of this assets, to you, was your first reaction to reading this and hearing all the assets they got back, man, the Clippers are going to try and make a run and put together a package to get Anthony Davis here?
I mean, yeah, I think that's, you know, that's the ultimate goal. They, you know, it's been very clear they want a superstar. You know, they have plans to build a new arena. And I think that they're like, that's, I think it's going to be a huge pitch to any potential free agent or trade, to getting someone to stay here, would be that, you know, we would be building around you. This would be your team. You know, look what we have already. We have these great young assets. We have some solid vets, a lot of people who have overperformed from where they were. So, you know, that we can draft well, you know, that we can continue to be good in the future. And if you come here now, you know, you could be extending your career given the rookies that we have and stuff. So I think that that's appealing to free agents. And then obviously the pack of assets is going to be instrumental in orchestrating any kind of trade for anyone that we can't get just via signing.
Anthony Davis specifically, was there interest from the Clippers in trying to put together a package or at least them thinking about trying to make a run for Anthony Davis from the moment that we heard that he wanted out of New Orleans? Or did it start when the list of teams was leaked and the Los Angeles Clippers were on it, that list of teams that Davis said he would re-sign with if he was traded to?
So there was definitely interest from the beginning. I don't believe that that ever got as far as any sort of real type of conversation. I think that the intention of the front office of New Orleans and Demps was always to wait until the summer. Obviously, you have the widest range of packages at that time. You'll know and a better idea of where people are going to be drafting. But I know that the Clippers were interested. I would not be surprised if they made a phone call. I doubt that it was ever returned.
Interesting. So moving on to free agency this summer, though, William, is it Kawhi Leonard or bust for this Clippers team? We know there have been attachments and rumors between the two. We know that's who the Ballmer wants to go out and get. But is he truly like it's going to be all out to get Kawhi in a Clippers uniform?
That's going to be the goal. And, you know, that's obviously been the goal. I think, you know, at a bare minimum, we've been very thirsty for Kawhi all season. There's multiple reports of like Clipper scouts and stuff being at essentially every single Toronto game. We've done a lot. There was even some stuff in the off season with commentator Bruce Bowen being fired for some remarks about Kawhi. So I do think that Kawhi has been, the light at the end of the tunnel of this quick rebuild. And he's definitely who we've had our sights set on. That being said, Kawhi would be an incredible pickup if we could sign him. That'd be awesome. He is, from the area. However, I don't see this offseason as like necessarily a failure if we don't sign him. He is in a really great position right now. It's got to be it's got to be a change of pace, switching to an Eastern Conference where, you can sometimes rest. You can be an all-star on a team and sometimes not have to play a back-to-back. So I do think that there's going to be some issues with like comfortability and stuff like that, that would be a little bit more challenging were he to come back to the West in a bigger market. So I don't know. I do know though that's our 1A target. I think even ahead of making a trade for Anthony Davis, Kawhi is the guy that we're gunning for.
There is a small element of risk, though, to what the Los Angeles Clippers are doing anytime that you're in a position to make the playoffs, especially in the Western Conference. That doesn't come easy with the amount of talent that is now here in the West, although I was happy to see the amount of talent that was traded to the Eastern Conference. I think that's good both for the West and for the NBA as a whole. But I looked at the risk that the Clippers were taking here, trying to set the table for a lucrative summer, but still getting good assets back that they can potentially use even if things fall through this or in June and July. And then I compare it to what the New York Knicks are doing, right? Trading Kristaps Porzingis, who is a bona fide star, who is hurt right now, and we don't know how he's going to return from this surgery that he's had on his knee, but they're gearing up and going all in for a potential chance to get a Kawhi Leonard or Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant this summer. So you know they're going to be big players as well. Are you looking at New York as potentially some major competition in trying to attract guys like Kawhi or attract those big name free agent signings?
I think it's hard to tell exactly what a free agent wants, but from my perspective, it's not really a competition. The Clippers have a better recent track record. They're a less dysfunctional organization. They have an owner that's willing to spend whatever it takes. They have, a very respectable coach. I like Fizdale there in New York. But you can't deny that the Knicks have been through three or four head coaches in the last 4 years. We've got Doc who, has a chip and has taken this team, at least to the semifinals. We've never really gotten out of the second round, but obviously the front office, we've been working so hard to build the acquisition of Lee Jenkins and just Jerry West and Lawrence there in the front office. I think that if you're a free agent, you got to have a lot more confidence in an organization like where Los Angeles is at right now. We've been able to flip this team around and change our identity in essentially two seasons from losing, all three of the biggest stars that were the foundation of this team for so many years. So if I'm a free agent, to me, it's not really the only real appeal of going to the Knicks right now is that, it's New York. It's the biggest, it's Madison Square Garden, that's a huge stage. But LA is also a very large market, and especially a team like the Clippers, you're going, if you're a free agent, you're going to be the star of that. We don't necessarily have the same heritage that the Lakers do, or even really that the Knicks do. So like, if I'm a free agent, I'm thinking about legacy, or I'm thinking about, making my mark on a franchise. I mean, to me, obviously I'm biased, but the Clippers have got to be the more appetizing move in that regard.
I actually agree with you there. ever since we heard LeBron James was signing and coming to the Los Angeles Lakers, once again, the Lakers took full stage right in the front. They took the spotlight and pushed the Clippers back to the back burner a little bit, although it's not all that surprising to me and to many that the Clippers are and have been, for the majority of this season, a better team, playing better basketball, staying out of drama, and doing the right things both on and off the court. We know the whole saga that the Lakers went through going for and trying to trade for Anthony Davis, that circus and that mess there. I'm curious from your perspective and just from an outsider who's in California still, but up in Northern California here alongside the Golden State Warriors, what is the rivalry like between the Lakers and the Clippers? Now that LeBron is there any kind of heat or is there a spark between fan bases that are so close playing in the same building?
Oh, 100%. I think there always has been, even when the Clippers were had the big three and were better, and the Lakers were kind of on a bit of a downturn there for a while. That's always been pretty competitive. I don't think it was prior to probably the Blake Griffin trade. Other than that, it was like, you know, there was never like a real competitive rivalry. So It's pretty recent, but it's definitely very strong. I think that, you know, we're going to be more highly scrutinized when compared to the Lakers, especially just given the moves and stuff that we're making versus their kind of moves, which are generally, you know, they're going to make the huge, the biggest free agent moves generally, you know, like they're going to be able to land LeBron. They're going to be able to land these other guys. Whereas, you know, we've always kind of had to put our nose a little bit harder to the grindstone. We've never really been a free agent destination before this. And I think that now, like, those kind of tables are starting to turn. And I think that fuels that competitive rivalry in a way that I think both games this season were some of my were some of the best showdowns of the Lakers and the Clippers, like in recent memory.
Final thing for you, and thank you so much for taking the time here and appearing on the Locked On Kings podcast. But I'm always curious to get outside perspective on this Sacramento Kings team. Now, you're one of three teams that are, I guess, somewhat neighbors of the Kings, so it's always interesting to get Californian perspective on what the Kings are trying to do here. From your standpoint, what are you looking at with not just with the moves that the Kings have made at this trade deadline, but their growth from last year to this year? Do you and do Clippers fans, Clipper Nation, the Clippers themselves view the Kings as potentially a future threat to have to deal with?
Oh, I mean, I think more than a future threat. I think a current threat, but like in the best of ways. On the Locked On Clippers podcast, we refer to the Kings as like our sister team. Like we are fully like our other California team is definitely the Kings. The amount of development you've been able to get out of your young players in such a short amount of time is really incredible. And you know, you guys have had a long playoff drought. I do see that as one of the, like, I wouldn't mind losing a playoff berth if it was going to be to the Kings, because what you guys have been able to do is so impressive. You're currently one of the most exhilarating teams to watch. I'm excited to see how the Harrison Barnes signing works. He reminds me almost a little bit of like a Tobias Harris type player, really solid scorer. He's not as good of a rebounder. But I think you guys made some solid additions, and I'm excited to see how this thing is all going to click and run for you guys. How do you feel about this? The Harrison Barnes addition.
No, the addition of Harrison Barnes was exactly what was needed here in Sacramento, and a lot of fans here wanted the Kings to try and make a move for Otto Porter, which seemed like a smart decision. I actually like Otto Porter the player over Harrison Barnes the player, although now my mind has changed a little bit now that Harrison Barnes is actually legitimately a King. But the fact that the Kings didn't make a mistake by giving away a piece of their core to the Washington Wizards, like a Bogdanovich or a Harry Giles, in order to get Otto Porter here just to make the eighth seed and be a quick sweep or a quick exit by the Golden State Warriors. I like the move that they made. I think Vlade proved to not just us here in Sacramento, but proved to everyone around the league that he is qualified to be a general manager with the smart trades and the smart moves that he's made really since the DeMarcus trade, which is a trade, by the way, that the Kings won with flying colors, because look where the Pelicans are now and look what the Kings have with Buddy Hield. So everything's trending in the right direction, and slowly but surely the hopes are building here. I know I said that was the last question, but I got to sneak this one in, because there's a guy on your roster there in L.A. on the Clippers that I'm absolutely in love with, that I also hate because he's demolished the Kings in all three games this season, and that's Montrezl Harrell. Watching this guy play is just such a breath of fresh air to me and to so many because he's, first off, he's a big man in a guard-dominated league. He just plays with a hustle and energy, a passion and a fire, but he doesn't do all the flashy things that have become so key and crucial to being a star in the NBA today. I love what Montrezl Harrell brings. I think the Clippers would be fools to ever let him go for any sum of money because he's fantastic. I would love for the Kings to try and find a way to get him here in Sacramento, but I just want to get your take. Having watched him consistently throughout this season, just your thoughts on Montrezl Harrell, the guy and the player.
Absolutely. Before I get into that, I just got to say, don't you as the Kings have enough bigs?
No. Yes, we do, but with a guy like Montrezl Harrell, bring him over. I don't care. We'll find room for him.
No, Harrell has been one of my favorite players. I think that was a steal in the trade for Chris Paul, and I think that he's proved himself. He's actually one of my votes, and once again, this is 100% bias, but he's got to be one of my votes for most improved player.
Yes.
He was a guy who went from having, I think he had 8 or maybe 9 double doubles this last season to, you know, he's pretty close to averaging a double double for this season. He just works so hard. His only flaw is just like his physical body size. He does have some trouble grabbing rebounds from some of the like true center size bigs, with him being only 6'10". But, you know, he makes up for that, I feel like, every time with energy. He's just such a spark plug. He wants to be a functional piece of this team. Like you were saying, he doesn't need to always be doing the flashy thing. He doesn't always need to be the star. He's going to go in there and he's going to hustle, and he makes this team so much better. We always say he's the heart and the soul and the fire of this team. And man, I wouldn't let him go for anything. I'm toying with the idea of throwing a lifetime contract out there. I don't even know if that's possible.
Who cares? Do it. Write it in
crayon. Gotta lock him down.
Just write him in crayon on a napkin and get him to sign it thinking it's an autograph, and there, he's stuck. There's nothing he can do about it.
I got to trap him into it.
There you go. In terms of most improved player, I mean, there's two here in Sacramento, and De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, that I know are going to be gunning for that award. I think Buddy Hield might be at the top of the list for that, but if there's any player that both of those could lose to for that award, I would love it to be Montrezl Harrell. Just what he brings to the game, I think, is fantastic, and hopefully, as much as Steph Curry inspires kids around the world, someone like Montrezl Harrell can also inspire maybe high schoolers or big guys who are trying to find a way into the league, and he proves that just playing with heart, playing with hustle, playing with energy, and just being relentless will get you a spot in the NBA today.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a great example. It's totally like the antithesis of like a kind of a flashy model. It's like, you know, sometimes, not even sometimes, most times, really, really hard work will pay off if you're working harder than everybody else and like you have a determination to elevate the whole around you. You're going to be a valuable piece anywhere.
Well, William, I've never been a fan of a Los Angeles team, and I don't think I ever can be, being born and raised here in Sacramento and growing up a diehard Kings fan. But if there's any team that I could share a little bit of love for or have a small place in my heart for, it's the Los Angeles Clippers, for having to deal with that disgusting Laker empire over there. Thank you so much for taking the time, and congratulations for your team, the growth that they've shown this year, now somewhat taking a step back in the short term to potentially make a big run in the long term. Let's hope that we get a Clippers-Kings Western Conference Finals in a couple of years, if not next year.
Oh, wow. I cannot wait for that.
That is William Updike. You can follow him on Twitter at Will Updike. That's UPDYKE. Even though you're Sacramento Kings fans listening to this Locked On Kings podcast, it's always good to have a pulse or a finger on the pulse of everything around the league. And William Updike is a fantastic follow to get everything going on in Clipperland. I'm sure he's going to be a great follow throughout this summer to see who the Clippers end up landing and who they try and get. Will, thank you so much for taking the time here on the Locked On Kings podcast. And I look forward
Absolutely.
To chatting with you again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Huge thank you to William for taking some time to come on the show and sharing all that great insight with what's going on down there in Clipperland, trying to push the Lakers out and become the dominant team in LA, and I am all about that. If you enjoyed William here on this podcast, let him know by following him on Twitter and reaching out to him. Also, let me know. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Kings and Miami Heat tonight. I expect the the solemnness and the frustration and disappointment of all these trades that went down right before the Houston game and during the Houston game to be pushed to the back burner or to be not maybe 100% dealt with, but for the most part dealt with. I don't expect the Kings to be as distracted and disappointed and lethargic on the court as they appeared against the Houston Rockets. So I'm expecting the Kings to win this game. It'll be cool to see Dwayne Wade come back, play his final game here in Sacramento inside the Golden One Center as he's retiring at the end of the season. So we might get a cool moment interaction between the Kings and D. Wade tonight. But this is a game that I expect the Kings to go out and win. If you're really, truly gunning for a playoff spot, you have to win games like this. Really, I expect the Kings to win the next two games, this game against Miami and then Sunday's meeting with the Phoenix Suns. So two important games here for the Kings to try and make up some ground on the Los Angeles Clippers and work their way in as soon as possible, because after this homestand comes to an end, it's a very difficult stretch of road games that you're looking at. Four straight road games against Western Conference teams. Three out of the four of them that the Kings are going to be playing are currently in the playoffs in the West. So it's going to be a tough stretch, but the Kings picked the right time to add some talent to their roster. Very excited to see how Harrison Barnes and Alec Burks work their way in and how successful they can be immediately right out of the gate for this Kings team. If you're heading to the game tonight, I will be hosting Game Night on Sports 1140 KHDK. That is AM 1140 on your radio dial if you're local. You can also listen via the KHDK app, which is available in your iTunes store, your Apple store, or your Android store. It's also, you can also listen on KHDK.com. I'll be hosting from 5:30 to 6:30 live from the Golden One Center, top of section 110 on the concourse. So if you're coming to the game, why don't you walk by and say hi? I would love to chat with you. So many of you walk by and just wave at me or flash the Locked On Kings podcast on your phone at me. I appreciate that. I do not take that for granted. Thank you to every single person who tries to seek me out at Kings games, and I always will take time to chat with you as much as I possibly can. So if you're coming to the game, hopefully I will see you tonight. If not, I will talk to you next week as we will jump right back into this massive playoff race going on here. And the All-Star game, the All-Star break right around the corner, the Kings competing in the Rising Stars Challenge, the De'Aaron Fox is in the Skills Challenge, Buddy Hield's in the three-point contest, so we have a lot to talk about beyond trade deadline season. It'll be nice to get back to what is happening on the floor between the lines now that all the trade circus and hullabaloo is all wrapped up and done with. Until Monday, my name is Matt George. Have yourself a great night tonight, and thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.